quick disclaimer here at the beginning of the episode. The audio is still not fixed. I mentioned this a couple of episodes back. It gets worse. It gets bad a couple minutes in, and then just persists throughout. So, again, apologies, but I'm just making you all aware. So, thank you all, and here's the episode.
Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps. Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Yeah, so I was in Columbus yesterday, and we went to this place called Pierogi Mountain. And as soon as we like sat down, our waitress came over and she's like, okay, you have to explain your shirt to me. Because I was wearing the Joe Cool Kills the Wayans shirt. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, so, you know, I'm part of a podcast and we were watching one of the Batman movies. And we were talking about how Joe Chill killed the Wayans. And instead of Joe Chill, I said Joe Cool. And then we just had to make a shirt where Snoopy was killing Batman's parents because, yep. I mean, why not?
Because it makes sense.
Yeah. So shout out if she's listening because, you know, that'd be awesome if I got us a new listener and sold a shirt.
Welcome to the podcast. We talk about nonsense stuff here. It's great.
Brothers, make shirts on. Sisters, gender resistors, and specifically one, I'm going to assume, hot pierogi waitress. Welcome to the only podcast on planet God dang Earth that Joey has actually made an arbitrary list of comic book related movies and paraphernalias for us to watch. We are going to get into this. It is going to be probably, if I had to guess what this review is going to be, I'm going to say we have great source material that's then ruined by one specific person on this show who's going to be an insufferable mark for himself and just try to get all of his shit over. Fuck you two. I know it was me.
For those who are watching on the or not watching on YouTube, Ron and I were pointing directly at Chuck.
They listen, Chris loves this show, all right? It's because of me, and we all know this, all right?
I definitely think you have elevated the show. Not that Rob and I were doing bad, but you have definitely put us to another level of like funness.
Of
sure,
fucking
that's a term.
Listen, we needed more mental illness on the show, and Chuck provides.
That's super fair.
You know, yeah. You know, what we also needed.
Oh.
Yes. No.
Sorry.
No, I had that.
Chuck has a dad, okay? We just don't know where he's at. Be nice.
Lack of a father figure.
That's not true. I know where he is. I run into him like once a year in Walmart, and he asks me for money usually. But
you know, you know what used to be cool was this.
Oh my God! There's nothing cooler than so. At time of recording, Elimination Chamber just happened, and after 15 years too late, but John Cena has finally turned heel, which is the coolest fucking thing in the world because he's on his like retirement tour, He sided with heel Rock, both in character and actual real heel in real life. And people are calling them the Break a Wish Foundation. Oh my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever fucking ever seen.
I've been seeing that. That's great.
Those of you who don't know, for the longest time, they would not let John Cena turn heel because they didn't want to ruin their reputation with Make a Wish Foundation. So there you
wonderful.
Go.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
Damn.
I just want to get those out of the way.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Listen, we watched a very, I would argue, controversial movie.
Okay.
We watched Judge Dredd from 1995. I can never remember if it's the 95 or 96. I almost for you, Jordan. I can't remember if it's 95 or 96. Listen, I don't have a mic to mute, and the camera too far away.
No, you're fine.
So
good.
I can see, you know, see Chuck like going like, and then just belching anyways.
Nothing I can do about it. Sorry,
everybody. No, you're fine. It's all good.
Yeah, so we watched Judge Dredd, starring Sylvester Stallone, and then ruined by Rob Schneider, in my opinion.
I will definitely say his character, I can't even say his character wasn't needed, because he obviously plays an integral part at the very end, but no, like his character, Rob Schneider, was just basically being Rob Schneider this movie.
Right. I don't think it's necessarily like a bad thing in the sense of like the character shouldn't have existed. I think they should not have casted Rob Schneider.
Well, see, you got to remember though, at this point in time, like Rob Schneider was in like a lot of stuff. Like
he really wasn't. Like he was just off his SNL stint. He made a appearance in Demolition Man. He was not a part of the main cast.
True.
He made an appearance there.
He was in Surf Ninjas. I think Down Periscope came out around this time.
I thought that was 96.
Oh, well, around this time.
Well, and I think it's actually really important to point out that this is the plot. Essentially the same plot as Demolition Man.
I was wondering
but Demolition Man's way better.
Watching it, yeah, it is. The entire time I'm watching, I'm like, why is this? And I've seen this movie before. It's been some time, but like I've seen this movie before, and I'm like, this plot seems so familiar. And arguably, like
similar.
The higher ups want chaos so that they can make their own order, so they bring somebody like a bigger threat in that Sylvester Stallone's character has to deal with. So yeah, kind of. Yeah, it is kind of similar to Demolition Man.
Yeah. So what is your familiarity with the comic series?
I know it's a comic.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
So if I could, I reached out to my friend Peps, Adventures with Peps on Instagram. Give him a follow. Really chill, awesome dude. I asked him because he is a huge Judge Dredd fan, like probably the only Judge Dredd fan that I know that exists. And I asked him, I said, okay, so the Judge Dredd movie was Stone. I know fans were mad about the helmet, which in canon that Judge Dredd has never removed his helmet. We never know what he looks like.
Correct. You're going to know it was Sylvester Stallone.
No. Yeah, we'll get there. But apparently there was one panel where he does remove his helmet, but it's like blocked out. Conveniently, his face is blocked out. Allegedly. Right. And yes, Ron, you are correct. The reason why he removes his helmet in this movie, the director or producer or somebody was like, you're not going to get a high dollar actor like Stallone and not have him show his face, which is the same argument that we will get into when we get into the MCU, because there's no reason half, if not three-fourths of those heroes need to be removing their helmets or their mask every shot they get.
Yep.
But we'll get into that later. But
anyway, so I asked, how accurate do you think it was to the material? Peps writes, for me, the movie looks, the movie in looks was spot on. The city, the cursed earth, the angel gang, the block war, all was amazing and very much the mega city I know and love. The helmet removal and the romance arc is a letdown for sure. That was the other big thing that a lot of fans had an issue with, is because he is just the law. Like, that's all he knows, and that's all he focuses on, and that's all he believes in. And to have, like, this awkward love story built into, like, something that they've never done before.
Well, love story at that. But he is the law, okay? But he also doesn't have parents. And what kind of parents would be better for somebody who is the law than a mother-in-law and a father-in-law?
Did you, You work on that one?
No, actually, I just came to me right now. Like, okay.
Have we been hanging out with Ron too much, or did that all make sense?
Like, it makes sense. That's a problem.
I'm getting a little scared. Also, they attempted to stick too many story arcs in one story. It felt like the studio executives wanted too much, and the story became jumbled.
So your typical comic book movie, then.
Yeah.
Well,
also, when you have a paycheck that has Stallone in his face, you have to they have to attempt to get their money's back's worth.
Yeah.
Then he follows up with, "Well, the Urban Dread, which is the 2012 remake, is more Dread of the comics. I feel like it lacked the setting and vibe of Mega City, one, and the quirkiness of it." So one of the big things, though, that they do really well in this is, like, Judge Dredd is a little quirky and weird. It's a little goofy.
Yeah.
So, like, because, like, I've seen panels, and there's, like, an entire, like, gang evil dude that Dredd fights who's literally just Elvis.
Because the comic itself, it came out. When did that one come out? Hold on, let me check that. I want to say it was like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it was very much this Judge Dredd is satirical. It has always been satirical to military population or what the fuck is the word I'm looking for, Ron?
Martial
military
law.
Complex. Yeah, and like because it was 200 AD was originally its release, right?
2000 AD.
Yeah.
Actually, and it came out in 1976 was his first appearance.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not realize that. Holy crap.
We might have to cover some Judge Dredd, man.
I'll have to find some Judge Dredd.
I asked for recommendations. Hold on. Because I decided that I also want to read some Dredd, but I don't want to slog through it. Peps said, I would start with The Day the Law Died in Complete Case Files number 2. It is for a digital copy for $10, and the Cursed Earth Saga as well. Two amazing stories in one collection.
Okay.
Yep. So there you go. Thanks, Peps.
Thank
you, appreciate
Peps. You,
buddy.
Hopefully you listen.
I think Peps knows.
He will listen because Chuck asks him to.
Well, that's never worked any other time, but yeah. So Judge Dredd is like a very satirical thing that I think gets lost in this movie.
Okay, so that's the thing. So when Simon and I were watching this, we noticed that Sylvester Stallone is so serious in this movie. Mm-hmm. And everybody else around him is not.
Yes.
Well, him and Rico. Rico is like the opposite kind of serious. Like, he's the psychotic serious. But then everybody else is just kind of like, this is a paycheck.
Yeah, it feels like Stallone, it felt like Stallone saw this as an opportunity for him to like he was already a big name, like he already was Rambo, but this would be like an opportunity for him to be something that was already established within being Judge Dredd. And I think that he took it really seriously, but the direction outside of that was really bad. All of the judges needed to be taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Because that's what the judges do. He's just the most ruthless one.
Right. He follows the law to a T. You could be jaywalking, running, and he would be like, you just jaywalked. You're getting 5 years.
Right.
Whereas every other cop would be like, hey, don't do that.
And the fact that this is like satirical in that, like, you know, essentially these judges to try to control riot population, because they even say in the movie, like, look, these war, what is it called? War blocks? They're
block
called?
Wars.
Block wars. My dyslexia is kicking in today hard. The block wars were like getting worse. So they're like, we have to get more judges out there. We have to get more control. Which we all know is not how you do that.
Well,
instituting more martial law when you don't have the firepower to do it just causes more problems. True. Support social work. Stop funding the police is my point here, Joe.
100%.
No, you're right. I agree with you. 100% agree with you.
No, look, what we need is, you know, suburban tanks and, you know, entire militarized, what is it? God, I can't remember. It's one of the Dungeons and Dragons roleplay things where he's like breaking these kids out of a police station. And he's like, yeah, the, you know, the police rules are just the power's law. Way of implementing their you know, thumb on you or whatever. And then he, like, lights place up with a ball pulp or something. I can't remember what he says exactly, but that's...
Yeah, Brandon Lee Johnson is like, laws Mulligan. Are just... Mulligan, yeah. Laws are... just rule fake rules instituted by powers of B to like suppress, and the police are a standing
army.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, you guys want to cook some bacon? And he takes out a Molotov cocktail out of his mail bag. You think it's gonna be a mailman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good listen, Joe. You should listen to it.
Sure.
I know that you have lots of time.
Surprised you've never seen it, like the billions of times it's been shared in the boys chat, but
I probably have. It's just not
that clip is the reason I started listening to them podcasting.
Very nice.
Yeah, he Brantley Mulligan is like a hardcore like leftist when it comes to pretty much everything. Anytime that he can rant about oligarchy and how much he hates it, it's always a good time. He works it into every single fucking thing he does. So.
Yep.
Very cool.
Anywho, so this movie starts off in the opening with another text scroll that gets read. And that is so peak that I didn't have to sit there and pay attention to it.
And read by Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Vader Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah, this automatically got a quarter of a point higher because it had rolling text with then having somebody explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was on the treadmill. I was like, I'm going to get motion sick if I have to read this. And then fucking James Earl Jones comes in on saving it.
Yeah, this movie, and again, I know I don't have any time, but like this movie in particular was like kind of made me want to actually finally make the list of you know, actors that we have seen. In movies like recurring actors that we keep coming across, because we get James Earl Jones, we get James Warner, is that his name, the lead squatter in Rob Schneider's apartment that is shooting.
Oh yeah, the dude that plays the really shitty version of was he Raiden?
In the second one?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember him more from Dexter's dad from the show Dexter. But, he was in one of the aliens.
He's also in, whenever we get to it, he's in The Phantom.
Yes, that's also another place where I know him from. But then we have him, we have those two, we've got, I know we're going to get a few more movies with Diane Lane down the road.
Diane Lane was smoking hot in the 90s.
Fucking smoke show in this. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know who she was. I knew the name, but I didn't recognize her, and I'm like, oh man, she's a terrible judge. She's the worst. Like... Absolutely terrible, which doesn't help because at time of recording, Joey and I also recorded a different episode where I was mad at women. So it's listen, Ron, just know in June I will meet the dumbest woman on the planet in a movie.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you guys watch?
Dawn of the Dead.
The 2004 Dawn of the Dead remake.
Okay. Yep. Say no more.
Yep. Yep.
But you know that we have a German bad guy.
Yeah,
like the German dictator judge that nobody sees it coming.
No, of course not, because he's a judge. He's a high like a high council judge or whatever. You know, totally fine.
And as he gets more evil in the movie, I feel like his accent gets more pronounced.
Yeah, probably.
But I don't know if that's just me or like a.
I didn't recognize it, but like. The guy himself, I was just like, hey, I know this guy too. Like he's been in
he's been in a lot of things.
A good amount of movies. None we've watched here yet.
No.
And I don't think we're gonna get another one with him in it, but I can't recall. I looked through his IMDb and I'm like, I recognize this one. Still acting. Still doing it, which is good for him.
So we do get two very important lessons from this movie. The first one being, obviously, all cops are bad, 1312. Mm-hmm. But the second thing that we get is you should not judge your friends.
Worst off is his friend is also his brother that he doesn't realize until later. But
yeah, we'll see. Yeah. But we got to go back to that then, because you should definitely judge your family, because they are no.
But you ain't telling me something I don't already know. Because like that was like a big plot point.
Yeah,
because it was obviously Rico who went in and killed the reporter.
Yeah, 100%.
But like, wait, it was Judge Dredd. And funny enough, that the higher ups have a secret that nobody else on the force knows about. Go fucking figure. About the whole blood DNA thing. And then yeah, it turns out it's Dredd's DNA. It's like, well, how is?
But here's
as a viewer, you start to piece that together. Like, wait, how is that possible?
But here's the other thing, though. Would it not also have been the main judge's DNA also?
And that everybody else's,
yeah.
But it was a mix of all their DNA. So because it was a mix, it was unique to Dredd and Rico.
And in that case, wouldn't they have also had it on file for Rico?
Well, yeah, but in their eyes. The one judge knew Rico wasn't dead. I guess the two judges knew that Rico wasn't dead because Max von Sydow thought he was dead. And my assumption would be that the other two judges, the other guy from Star Wars and then the lady judge, they all thought he was dead. But it turns out, obviously, that they weren't. So there was something in play where the judges were corrupt, which again, shocker. Yeah.
So here's another thing. Do the judges regularly get tested?
How many you put in the stink there, Joe? What's happening there?
Yeah,
shocker. This is a really big shocker. Okay.
Yeah, a little concerned there.
Anyway, sorry. You were saying about the judges?
All of their bullets are embedded with their DNA.
Yeah.
Do they get regular, STI screenings and, stuff like that? Or are they just, capping people and then giving them, bullet-transmitted diseases?
My assumption is when they shoot somebody, they're dead. So, don't think it matters?
Not necessarily. He only blew the kneecaps off that one dude.
Yeah, and then
Diane Lane ended up capping him, but yeah.
Exactly. So, they still killed them all.
True. But, okay, going back to this being satirical, when Hershey calls in at the beginning for the Block War and where they're at, they're on the corner of Abbott and Costello.
Yes, I heard that. I'm like, wait, did I hear that right? I actually rewound it to double check.
And, yeah.
I was wanting to keep a ear out, keep a lookout for more of that kind of thing. Because I knew this comic was from the 90s. So I figured it would have a lot of, with Batman, they will have street names that are named after the original writers and other artists,
or up on the kiosks for the movies.
They'll basically have some sort of homage to
I think it was Daredevil that had the writers' names on the boxing thing.
Yes, and also like they had Kevin Smith's character playing Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
His name was literally Jack Kirby. So like they have you've got a lot of these that will pay, you know, tribute, pay homage to the past. So I was looking for that, which might have meant something if I knew anything about Judge Dredd.
Yeah, so that's
there might have been something there. I honestly have no idea. That one's on me.
And also at the beginning, the shitty Raiden.
Yeah.
When like the dude's like, that's Dredd down there. That's Dredd, you know? And he's like, if you want to be afraid of somebody, be afraid of me. Who's going to be afraid of him when Judge Dredd is coming after their ass? Like,
yeah, literally nobody.
Everybody fucking knows Dredd and is like terrified of him.
And yet they all were like, "Hey, we can shoot him. Let's shoot him from here." Did literally nothing.
Which I love because like Dredd knows the guns and is like, we're totally fine. And like, I'm just gonna stand here and let them shoot around me because they're not within lethal range.
Well, even at that, what we see later on when he's at the academy training the cadets, the shoulder pads are apparently a shield. Like they're bulletproof.
Yeah,
along with the mask.
The worst armor ever designed. It's your shoulders, which does like barely covers like any vital organ.
It's up here on the chest, above the pecs.
You have to run straight at them. See, with your body tilted forward.
Maybe. A helmet that like face down, so it will blow your fucking like mouth off. Also, just looks like plastic anyway. You got fucking knee pads and the worst boots. Those boots are so heavy.
Well, the knee pads are for a whole different reason.
And then he's got like a fucking like cod piece.
Yeah.
Which they like really slow strolled up to.
I understand the cod piece. I don't want to get shot in the dick.
Yeah, but the rest of his like gut and like legs totally exposed.
Look, you can die heroically from a gut shot, from getting your legs taken out, but you get shot in the dick, and automatically you're just like, wow, that dude got shot in the dick. And then he's Judge Dick from now on. Or Judge Dickless, depending on if he survives it or not.
I was going to say, it's probably Judge Dickless, yeah.
Yeah.
So
now, we do get... So at one point, when that group of... with fake Raiden, kills the one judge and then grabs the gun. This is when we learn that the guns are encoded to the judges, and anybody else that grabs them basically gets killed. They get shocked to death. And that plays out again later on when Rico returns to get his delivery, and he grabs a gun, which was either encoded to him or encoded to Dredd. They're the same person, so whatever. But here's my question. Toward the end of the movie, really more like when they get into the Angel Gang, and you get all of those security guard cops coming in.
Apparently their guns are not. It's only the, what's the judge's gun called?
Lawmaker or law something? I can't remember.
Lawgiver.
Lawgiver, thank
you. Yeah, that's the only one that's like, DNA coded.
Why? Why? Like, would figure all the guns should, guns should be
The judges are important cops. The rest of them are cannon fodder. So the judges get...
It's specifically the street judges.
Yeah.
Because they're the only ones using that gun, and they're the only ones actually going into the bad areas. If you notice, all the other, like, police, which I think those are technically police. I don't think they're judges. Don't fucking leave, like, the precinct.
Except when they were chasing after Dredd when they were...
Right. Either they're chasing Dredd or they're cleaning up a mess that Dredd has caused.
Yeah.
Because, like, we see him right at the beginning.
Okay. And I guess and when you think about it, the judge's DNA being encoded on the bullets, it would help with whatever case and judgment they passed on said criminal. So, yeah. Right. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
What didn't make sense was the dial on the Metal Hillbillies forehead. Huh?
Mean gun? What? Mean something. I can't remember.
His name was just Mean.
Actually, it's Mean, like Mean Machine or Mean something. I saw it on IMDb, but I can't remember exactly what it is.
But so Dredd turns him all the way down.
Trapjaw. His name is Trapjaw, actually.
he looked like something that came out of the basement of what the fuck, Kogashuga from Double Dragon, where he had all those dead bodies.
Yeah.
But like, he turns the knob all the way down, and like the dude just like falls over and like passes out, right, or whatever. Like he just becomes completely docile. And then, like 10 seconds later, he's back to being completely aggressive and like ready to kill him.
He stabbed Max von Sydow with right through the chest. Yeah. And, you know, killed him.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's fine. He's totally great.
Yeah. Like Dredd, like turned him off.
Yeah,
allegedly.
So I'm wondering if there was a scene that they cut out where somebody turned him back up. Because even when he stands up, the knob is turned.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if because he thinks he turned him off, but when you actually see him when he gets up, the dial was facing down, so he turned him to 4, like the highest. So my thinking might be that he like overpowered him to like reboot him. Like he got too much power and just it overworked the system that he shut down for a second.
Sure.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I knew that's what you say, something that Judge Dredd says all the time in the comics.
I have no idea.
Okay. Because that was so fucking annoying. I knew you would say that.
My guess is probably, like, I'm going to guess that is like a line from the, I think it's only in the context of like, how do you plead? And everybody's like, well, not guilty. And his reply is, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah, that makes sense because they all think they're not guilty.
Right.
But well, the fact that he said that for literally every single line.
But he says it for everything. Yeah.
Is the I am the law a big thing in the comics? Because, mm-hmm. Okay.
I am the law.
He does literally the law.
You got lips all the way over here. I am the law.
That's because they started talking to the microphone. Because it only came down on one side of the helmet.
Yeah. Well, that's also his speech impediment. But
yeah.
I have written down here. You didn't say anything about cocking, so I hope that's in your phrase thing.
It is. My quote's out of context. Yeah.
There you go. Quote's out of context. That's the new stinger for that.
I love Archer. All right.
I was playing with some sound bites today. Sorry.
So speaking of that, though, when they are back up in the like precinct or whatever, and Dredd starts stripping the dude off, and he's like, "Why are you taking off his clothes? We don't have time for this." Because like thought he was, you know, doing other things to him. And how is it like? Because this is supposed to take place in what, like 2070 or something?
I forget, something like that. Yeah.
How are they still using dial-up? When she goes to use a computer at her apartment, and it's like, I'm like, no, like that.
Speaking of the computer voice, was Adrian Bordeaux, which we've seen in Swamp Thing and there's another movie. One of the creep shows.
She's like she's actually like a really popular actress.
Oh yeah,
I pulled up her info when I was watching it on Amazon, and I couldn't believe it. Like she was like kind of like one of the big. There's actually a lot of big names in this movie.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like the more I was looking, I was like, holy crap, there's like a lot of really
like
I mean, maybe at the time they weren't, but or just starting to be, but like
and you know, also this movie was I mean, it was big for its time. Like, it got, let me see here. Sorry, messed up here. Judge Dredd movie. Like, it had a, well, I mean, $85 to $90 million budget, and it made $113. So I guess it actually didn't do as good as they thought, but as I thought. But, like, I mean, the cast alone was, you know, Sylvester Stallone, Armand Asante, Diane Lane, Rob Schneider, the German guy, because I don't know how, Jürgen Proch now, I don't know. Max von Sydow, Joanna Mills, which I think was the lady, other lady judge. Like I said, Adrian Bordeaux, James Earl Jones. Like, you had,
there were a lot people, of big names,
you know? Like... Oh, Ewan Bremner, who was Junior Angel. You know, we'll see him again come Wonder Woman. And I know he's been in a couple other movies. Yeah, Mean Machine Angel was his name. There we go. Scott Wilson, who was Paul, he is best known. Like, I remember him. I know him more for Herschel in Walking Dead.
Yep.
I know he's been in other movies. Yeah, like, there's a good amount of people here.
I kept thinking he looked really fucking familiar. I'm glad you said something about that, because, yeah, it's Herschel, yeah.
That'd be why. Yeah, he just doesn't have the beard.
Yeah, that's what threw me off. So, I know that Chuck earlier had said something about Diane Lane Hershey being a bad judge. And to compound that, at the end of the movie, she gets her ass kicked by a doctor.
Yeah. Because the doctor does show up at the bar of the shoot Dredd until she pops up and pops her in the chest. But I also figure, I'm like, I also have written down that, you know, it's a 90s movie when the men fight the men and the women fight the women.
That's right. Because if it would have been a 50s movie, it would have been the men slapping the women around. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Well, but also I think in the remake,
it would have been, if it's the comic, Dredd beats the shit out of women in that all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in the and I've never seen the 2012 one, so I look forward to when we do watch it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But I'm pretty sure, like, he kicks, what's her name's ass? Cersei's ass from Game of Thrones. I can't remember her name.
It plays Mama.
Yeah.
Leah, no. Yeah, well.
Hold on, I can...
Oh, yeah, you guys can look it up.
Lena Headey.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of her.
So, yeah, like... Sure.
Her brother did it first, though.
Hey! Anyway.
That's an incest joke, Chuck, because, like, in the...
I never finished it.
Also, she's Sarah Connor, so, you know.
What?
Yeah, in Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Never seen it.
That's what I should watch at work next. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out things to watch at work since I've been bringing my tablet in and actually watching things now.
Gotcha.
I got caught up on shows and movies. So, anywho,
Joey, do you do work at your job?
I mean, of course,
for legal reasons. Yes, he's very busy.
But I wouldn't buy a Silverado or Sierra from January and February of 2025. Just, no real reason.
Allegedly. Good to know. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. End of the movie, when Rico and Dredd face off, finally, in the Statue of Liberty, I have written down that they did a really bad job of making Rico and Dredd the same height.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the thing. Simon said something about it because he's like, because Judge Dredd, like, Sylvester Stallone was sitting, like, standing down on something.
Yes.
And, like, and Simon's like, why are they so different in height? And I'm like, I don't know. And then when they actually get next to each other, it's, like, very, you know, ridiculously obvious.
Here's the funny thing. Armand Asante, he's actually taller than Sylvester Stallone. Armand Asante is 5'10". And Stallone is 5'9" and a half. Which surprised me that he's that short.
Yeah, why was there such a ridiculous difference between their heights? Was it like his boots or something?
I think it's the boots. The boots are like freaking 3 inches tall. So I will assume it has to be the boots. I could be wrong, but no, like it was very apparent.
Yeah.
Very apparent. And I'm like, this doesn't look great.
Maybe it was his contract that nobody could be taller than him.
No, that's Vin Diesel.
Oh, that's right. Who's only 5'9".
Well, it's not taller. It's he can't lose to...
That's also the Rock.
The Rock. Yeah. Yeah, that's why they had beef on...
Because The Rock also has it in his contract that he can't lose a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, what was it? I think it was Fast 6, the sixth one they're in. They did not film together. There were scenes where they were in the same room, and they did not film together. They refused to film together. So it was very shocking when Rock finally came back at the end of Fast X and will be allegedly in the new Fast and Furious movie.
I thought they were done making those.
Yeah, they are after this next one.
Oh, X2?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was?
Whatever it's going to be called.
No, X2 is like Mutants United or something, right? Or is that X3?
Yeah, it's Fast and Furious X2 Fast United, pretty sure. Furiously United.
Oh, man. Let's see. We talked about the forced love story. Really weird that all the citizens were cheering for Dredd there at the end.
Yeah.
The fake picture. It was really funny that the fake picture looked more fake when it was a real picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. So Rob Schneider's character, Fergie, like, he gets judged for rewiring that food bot thing, which, one, how did Dredd know he was in there?
Because Judge Dredd hears everything and knows everything and could tell the difference between Rob Schneider's stupid accent and what the robot was supposed to sound like.
Actual robot? Yeah, he's a creep. Whatever. But if he sentenced him to 5 years in prison a few days before he got sentenced, why were they on the same transport?
Bureaucracy. They had to wait for all the paperwork to go through and stuff.
For
Rob Schneider.
Fergie?
Yeah.
But then, so
but they needed Dredd had to
Dredd
go.
Got fast-tracked?
So, yeah, Dredd got fast-tracked because German dude wanted him on that plane because they were planning on getting it blown up.
Well, sure, get rid of him, but... Well, were they, though? Because the Angel Gang just...
I'm pretty sure they got tipped off for it.
Mm, okay.
Because he says no one survived the plane crash. And then, the guy ends up shooting these survivors.
Yeah. Then my last note is Judge Dredd is a glory hound.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a glory hound.
Well,
he's the law.
I don't know. I don't know if he's a glory hound in the comic or if that's just Stallone.
Probably just Stallone.
Oh, probably just Stallone, yeah.
Yeah,
let's be honest here.
That would make sense. All right.
Ron, you got any ideas?
No, actually, that's all my notes also.
Yeah. Yeah. Kill count?
We got a kill count of 46. We had one dead person already. The person that the angels were spit roasted on the fire, and Judge Griffin's arm we don't see it get ripped off initially. Like, as soon as it starts to get ripped off is when we cut away from the robot.
Yeah, I was under the impression that he ripped off both arms at the same time, so I was very confused why the body was still floating in the air.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, see,
when
the one came off, the other one didn't, so he was like, you know.
Yeah, but he still would have, like, slung. Oh, 100%. He still would have hung.
Maybe he was holding him with his third arm.
Mm.
I don't know.
And that robot.
AMC bot was actually pretty comic accurate. I've seen those things before.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. The fact that was actually, like an actual robot that they needed like five people to remote control it, which was kind of cool. Like it looked good. One of the few like special effects that actually hold up. There's some here.
Yeah. Because we are. Oh, my God. You are not fucking lying there. It's interesting because we are in that like weird era where they are going to they're starting to get really heavy into animatronic stuff. But it looks really bad because it's really big and clunky and they shoot it really weird to try to hide a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you gotta remember, like, the Ed 209 from the first RoboCop, which was in the
80s. Oh, Jesus, that was claymation.
Yeah.
Or stop animation or whatever.
But, yeah, stop motion. But, like, the one in, what, the third one? Like, I'm pretty sure that was actually there. Like, that was actually the child. Was it the third one? Yeah.
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 Where the kid actually, like, rewired it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good.
Yeah.
We've seen worse.
Yeah, no shit. We've definitely seen a lot worse. Yeah. I actually thought it looked pretty cool.
I'm sure we'll get worse. And this is all actual animatronics. We're going to be getting into where they're like, oh, we can just CGI everything.
Yeah. I'm glad that they moved back away from that for some things.
Starting to go back to actual, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practical effects. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, practical. Yeah.
Okay, so, Ron, what do we got for bingo?
We have product placement, dying mentor, government interference, comic book logic, ID revealed to a friend, because eventually Rob Schneider becomes his friend, and his ID reveal, you know, when he's like, you're Judge Dredd.
I don't, that's flimsy. Everybody knows who Dredd is.
He didn't know him until...
Nobody knew what his face looked like.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Except for this part, you know?
Okay, fair.
Which, like, hey, Fergie, shut the fuck up. Like, he's literally telling, you know that this man is, like, crazy wanted and is, like, well known, but nobody knows what his face looks like. Shut the hell up. He's not lying when you say, not only do you talk too much, you talk too damn loud.
But you know
apparently,
what?
Snyder, when Rob Schneider did the like making fun of Stallone did that voice that was ad-libbed and they just like yeah sounds good let's keep it in
and then Stallone wanted to probably get him fired for it
feel like this movie definitely was like okay I've worked with you for two movies I don't want to work with you ever again.
We have origin reveal, we have betrayal by a friend, we have a villain monologue, we have unexplainable science, reformed bad guy, hero kills, sexual innuendo, fight for the control of something, and meme origins.
Yeah. Okay. Almost three. Nice.
Spawncape?
Spawncape.
I mean, look, the practical stuff looks cool. Slow down. The bike looked really bad. I mean, all of the bike stuff, even the bike in the beginning looked really bad.
When he was actually riding it on it, it was an actual bike.
And then...
Too much shit on it. Yeah,
it's just like it's not a practical vehicle, and then it's like the rail was the fucking the blank mobile. It reminded me of the blank mobile, like
the blank wheel.
Also, the blank wheel. Yeah. But then when they're in the like chase scene, awful, just so bad. Which like apparently we're just not even going to worry about the physics of how a flying bike would work, and when they go flying up the side of the building, Rob Schneider should have been launched off the face of the earth from that. But
yep.
Whatever. It's fine.
Oh, dude. Did I have that on? Just a real quick side note. I was, for shits and giggles because I needed something to watch, started to watch Ultraviolet the other day.
Oh, man. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I only got a couple minutes into it. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta turn this off. One, because it might be on our list. I gotta double check because I don't know if it was actually a comic book movie or if it was just a action movie that they tried to make have a comic book feel. But the motorbike here reminded me of that because there's one point where she is riding up the side of a building and then like jumps the ledge, and instead of like I don't say gliding, but like going onto the top, it like jumps the ledge and then boom. Just the graphics are terrible on it. And I'm like, this is this doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it's I don't know, but like the costumes, the settings, sets, I think look really good. The ship when the Angel Gang shoots it down looked real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of everything else, you know, it's a product of its time. I'm going to say 1 out of 22 Spawn Caves. It's bad, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
It almost kind of helps with the movie. Because the movie's a little goofy.
Yeah.
So the special effects being a little goofy really
makes sense, yeah.
Because, again, the animatronic robot looked fucking cool and worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm there. The AMC robot.
Yeah.
ABC.
What did I say?
AMC?
American, yeah.
Did I really movie say theater? AMC? Yeah. Wow. Holy shit. Okay. I'm real tired, guys. My apologies.
Look, it's an American movie classic. It's fine.
All right. Yeah, so score?
Well, no, before that.
Oh, that's right.
Ron, you got your...
Well, you already said my quote out of context, so...
Okay. Well, then we got our Not a Muppet.
I said Rob Schneider.
It's Dredd. Really?
Who'd you say?
Wait, who did you say? I said Rob Schneider.
I said Dredd.
Dredd?
No, you gotta have Dredd, not a robot, or not a Muppet, so he's killing nothing but Muppets.
See, I was thinking along the lines of, like, a Muppet Dredd throwing Rob Schneider around, and, like, everybody being afraid of a Muppet.
Okay. Rico,
actually,
kinda...
the gang leader in the Block Wars.
Oh,
just him. Just him. He's the only one that's not a Muppet.
Okay. Would make his death scene even funnier. I will give you that.
Okay, I like all those. Those are great.
Those are yours.
Yeah, I mean, like I was gonna say Rico for the just the. I don't know.
Because it would have been kind of funny them being brothers, and one of them being a Muppet and one of them not.
Yeah, yeah. And then him being the bad one, although it would make sense if Dredd was not a Muppet and then the Muppet was a bad, like Rico was a bad Muppet. So either one could work. But then I'll actually, know what? It would make more sense for Rico not to be a Muppet so that when he kills the reporter and then it's Dredd's blood, it's like, okay, how does this make sense when he's a Muppet? So, I don't know.
That's fair.
Either one works. It all works. All right, so let's move on to the scores. Chuck, out of 10, what do you give us?
All right, I've been thinking about this. Is this a Judge Dredd movie? Well, according to Peps, yes, but no. that there's a lot that's really good about this, that this is probably one of the more comic book accurate vibe movies than we've seen in a really long time. But I do think that Stallone is an insufferable mark for himself, and the helmet removal, even the way he acts a little bit, is bad. But I think that I would rather have Stallone over whatever the fuck Rob Schneider was trying to do in this movie. I just don't like Rob Schneider, and I really don't like him in this. I think his character is fine. I think you could have found any other comedian from SNL to do it, and it would have been better.
I don't know. Can you imagine Adam Sandler in that role?
Yeah, I think that would have been fucking hilarious. I think
I don't think you remember Adam Sandler from the 90s.
He was.
Yes, I do. Billy Madison?
Happy Gilmore, yeah.
He would have been even more annoying in that position.
We wouldn't have gotten that Adam Sandler. We would have gotten Bulletproof Adam Sandler.
Oh, I forgot about Bulletproof. That's a fucking great movie.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah,
you know what? I'll give you that one.
Yeah, we would.
I'll give you that one.
He would have shown up as Bulletproof Adam Sandler.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Okay. But that being said, listen, this is my fucking movie. This is what I love. You know what I mean? This is cheesy, 90s action movies. It's Stallone. Who, I mean, if this was Schwarzenegger, oh my God, this is going to get almost nearly a perfect.
You know what? There you go. Wait. Chuck has a dad figure, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, realistically, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stone Cold Steve Austin were my two father figures growing up. So, yeah. Do I love this movie? Yeah, I don't know if I love it, but I definitely would put it on at a holiday party and make fun of it with my friends. So it definitely passes the Gennaro continuum. Ron, what was the wrong continuum?
That's a really good question.
I just listened to the episode not that long ago where we introduced the Rontinuum, and now I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I tried to remember something for, see, it was Blank Man that it came up on.
Anyway, so, we'll find it.
Just over a month ago.
It's got to be something with boobs.
Yeah, I mean, right? Exactly. Yeah, it's Ron.
If it's Ron, it's got to be something with boobs. Anyway, so what do I give this? Man,
I forgot we're still waiting for Chuck's score.
I'm going to say 7.71.
Okay.
I really love this, but I don't know if I love this more than I love Tank Girl.
Tank Girl was a surprise how good that one was.
And I knew what I was going to get when I went into this movie because I've seen it before.
Correct.
But I still will happily watch it again. And honestly, it's still a good movie. Like, it's still it's no Demolition Man, but it's pretty good.
Are we watching Demolition Man?
It's not a comic, so no. That's just a straight action movie.
Now, what if we just watch that for my birthday?
I mean, so here's the good news. Season 2 of Getting Franchised is going to get a little weird and different, so there could be a possibility that we can work it into Getting Franchised, and we'll bring you on for it.
Yes. All right, I'm happy with that.
We'll see. We'll see. So, speaking of, Ron, what you got for a score?
Okay, so, I mean, I saw this movie when I was a kid. Like, I like this movie. Yeah, but there are some really bad parts, like the story and lots of plot holes and some of the acting. But also, I enjoy this movie. I've probably seen this movie at least, like, 6 or 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings me, you know, like, a bit of nostalgia, I guess you could say, you know, because, like, I have seen it a lot, and, you know, Diane Lane is smoking hot in this movie. Like, smoking hot. And I don't remember what movie I saw her in first, but then I saw her in this, and, like, it just kind of solidified the hotness of Diane Lane to me. I give this a 6.87.
Okay. So, I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I'm right there with both you where I've seen this movie a handful of times growing up. It's been a while since I've watched this movie.
Same. I thought I had it because I have a like four film collection thing. But it was, I think
I would do like this.
I think it's Tango and Cash. Demolition Man, and two other Sylvester Stallone movies. I thought this was on there, but it wasn't.
Sure. But even starting up the movie, I remembered a lot of the big parts. Like, it all came back to me. So, you know, like I said, nostalgia will play a factor in this one. It's a fun movie. This would be one to watch with somebody and actually, you know, make fun of it, have a good time with it. Do you have it?
So it's Tango and Cash, Demolition Man, The Specialist, and Over the Top.
Okay.
Over the Top, is that that's the arm
wrestling? The arm wrestling truckers, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to my ex. That was one of her favorite movies of all time.
She had daddy issues?
Yeah,
listen,
yes, you did.
Anyway, sorry, Joe.
No, you're good. You're good. So I gave this movie a 7.36. I really, really did enjoy this. Which Oh, interesting. Which gives us a combined score of 7.31, which ties it at number 32 with Stardust.
Really?
Yeah, which is, you know, that is just behind Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, at a 7.33, and just above Batman Mask of the Phantasm at a 7.25.
I was about to ask how the hell Force Awakens beat this, and I remembered you and
Doctor Strange and
you and Jordan are
Star Wars shrills.
Yeah.
You fucking marks.
Oh yeah, there's actually a few at 7.25. We got Doctor Strange from 78. We got Hellboy, Sword of Storms, and Daredevil from 2003. So that's yeah. So
outside of Daredevil, I like this movie way better than all of the stuff we listed. So
well, you've also, I don't think you were on it for Mask of the Phantasm or Sword of Storms.
No, I've seen Mask of the Phantasm though.
Okay, you should watch the Doctor Strange 78 Doctor Strange movie because that was fun.
You should watch it actually. Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Maybe I'll look it up.
I believe it's on YouTube. So
okay,
it's free. I'll see it.
So
yeah, Judge Dredd. There we go.
Where can I find you?
Hey, you can find me Kicked Out of the Hood, No Ian Kicked, on all social media platforms, probably. I don't know, man. I'm out there somewhere. You can find my hobby page on Instagram, Kicked Out of the Hobby, No Ian Kicked. And more importantly, you can find me at the end of the month, right here on this feed, of Getting Franchised, our once-a-month review episode of the latest and greatest of your franchises that you claim that you love that you really don't because you're stupid and dumb. And there are better franchises out there to enjoy, mainly the remakes. This may be specifically targeted because Joey and I just reviewed Dawn of the Dead. Spoilers.
That's a June review.
That's a June review. And this comes, so like in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, whatever it is. We record way super ahead. But at time of release of this episode, we would be where, Joe? We did
Hellraiser. Evil Dead was our third one?
Evil Dead was our third one.
Yeah.
So we did the original Evil Dead and then the remake of Evil Dead.
Yep, the 2013 remake. We've done, the first episode was covering Hellraiser. Second was covering Child's Play. The third one, which will be coming out at the end of this month, we'll be talking about Evil Dead. Thank you.
Which spoilers, we liked one better than the other.
Yeah.
Most importantly, they are making a third Evil Dead movie.
Yeah.
So that's serious.
Yeah. Another one.
Evil Dead Ends, I think. It's
something like that, yeah. Cause Anyway,
I hope they go Army of Darkness with it and just make it silly, personally.
Yeah, because Rises was weird, man.
Yeah, Rise went from this is really fucking creepy to what the fuck is going on? Yeah, yep. Like really fast. So, Ronald, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and other places. Blue Sky at Good at This Game. You can find my art on Instagram at Good Art This Game, which I've also got my art on Blue Sky at Good at This Game, but whatever. You can find me right here on this podcast, and eventually you'll be able to find me at least on one episode of Getting Franchised, which I just finished the shirt for that yesterday. I was pretty excited about that. So,
hell yeah.
Hopefully, when the show drops, the shirt should drop also.
Yes, I have a reminder in my calendar to make sure I put that shirt on the Tee Public.
Hell yeah.
He's only got like 4 months to do it, Ron.
I know.
Okay? Well, clearly, he's going to remember. Look,
I told him when he sent me the message, I'm like, I should be able to put this out when the show drops. I've got time. Because that stopped me before.
better hope he doesn't have a vacation in there, you know what I mean?
The vacation's later. The vacation's after that. So
Joey, where can they find you?
You guys can find the show on social media. Just search up Comic Book Rundown. We've got email comicbookrundown@gmail.com. You can rate and review us at your podcasting app of choice or on the social medias. We'll read it on an upcoming episode. We've got merch over on Redbubble and TeePublic. Redbubble is still there. I haven't gotten rid of it yet because I don't have time. Anyway, our song was done by Cam, who was formerly a father and a doctor.
I think he's still a father, and I think he's actually still a doctor.
Nope. He formerly was both.
Oh, okay.
Now he's father, doctor, former Cam.
Rip Cam, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever.
Father, doctor, formerly Cam, I think is...
There we go.
I think that's accurate. Yeah.
I always get it wrong because I just don't care.
Yeah.
Next move.
Yeah, he's definitely no longer Cam. That is accurate.
I love it. Our next movie... Oh, man. Okay, so... This next movie we're watching is going to be Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
What? Are you going to be here?
You're going to be here. No, you will. We're going to make it happen.
All right.
We'll talk about it off mic, but you're in on that one.
Okay. Okay. Don't scare me like that.
I'm following the list. I'm sorry. But yeah,
Listen, at time of release of this, if I am not married to this woman that I am traveling to go see.
That's where you're doing.
And a half hours. Well, actually, I'm taking a vacation.
Wait, okay.
I'm driving to Norfolk, Virginia. No, it's Norfolk, apparently.
Why is that taking you 8 hours?
Because I live in New York.
New York is like 2 hours away from Virginia.
It's not. It's 8 hours. I got to go through Delaware, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania.
That's a weird route.
No, I go along the seacoast.
Yeah, that's why it's a weird route. Is there not like a more direct path? Anyways,
No, I got to go through three states to get there, regardless of which way I go.
Okay.
Yeah. I will send you a map. Ron,
I'm just worried that you put it on like walking or riding your bike or something.
No, it is an 8 hour drive.
Damn, it takes me 10 hours to get to North Carolina from here, and I'm half the country away.
Well, I don't know, man. Fucking take it up with the people who make maps.
I will. Why can't we just travel by map? Like, how come they haven't invented that yet? The Muppets can do it. Why can't we?
That's a good point.
Indiana Jones did it.
We're not a Muppet, that's why.
Indiana Jones did it.
He's not a Muppet either. Wait, hold on. Anyway, so...
I forgot what the point of this was.
Don't worry about it. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Jesus Christ. I am coming down.